Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on Mem Hei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Kodshei Ovdei Kochavim, Ein Chayvim Lehem Mishum Pigo, Notar Vitamei. When it comes to Kodashim that are donated by the Ovdei Kochavim, as we're going to see today's daf, that an Ovdei Kochavim has a right to bring a neder and a nedava. And actually in the Gemara Menachot, there's a machloket as to what that means in terms of neder and nedava. Everybody agrees that they can bring an olah, because that's mentioned in the pasuk itself. The question is, can they also bring shlamim? So that's a machloket with regards to the shlamim, but an olah for sure they can bring as a voluntary offering. And we'll see the source for that in today's daf. But what we're saying here is that even though they are allowed to bring korbanot, their korbanot don't have the status of a korban like a korban of Israel. And therefore they're not subject to the normal character traits of a korban of Israel, which is that it's subject to pigul notar v'tameh. They don't apply to the kodshei of the kochavim. Vashochatan b'chutz, if you do shechita b'chutz for this animal, patur, divrei Rabbi Shimon. Then there is no chiyuv according to Rabbi Shimon. So this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion throughout the Mishnah, that he feels that kodshei of the kochavim, even though they have a status of kodoshim, they're not full-fledged kodoshim. Therefore they don't have pigul notar v'tameh. And shochatan b'chutz is not chayav. Now the Gemara will deal with the other items as to what the sources of each of these items. But with regards to shochatan b'chutz, the Gemara never deals with why that is. It never gives a reason as to why when you shochet b'chutz, you are patur. Generally, something that's brought bifnim and is accepted bifnim is then subject to a din of shochatan b'chutz. You look in the Ot Aleph of the Shita Mekubetzet, he brings a reason. He says, Amar Haram, Dihechi de darshina b'shchut echutz b'nei Yisrael mitzuvim ha-shchut echutz v'lo v'dei kochavim. Just like for the Isser itself of shchut echutz, we say that a Jew is subject to the Isser of shchut echutz, a Goy is not subject to the din of shchut echutz. Hakanami nidrosh gabe ha-korban. The korban itself will have that same din. The dafka korban shel b'nei Yisrael chayvin ha-shchut echutz v'lo b'korban shel v'dei kochavim. It will only be a korban of b'nei Yisrael that will be subject to shchut echutz. Similar to the fact that a Jew is the only one who's chayav for shchut echutz, so too a goy who's not chayav for shchut echutz, his korban will also not have a din of shchut echutz. So that's the logic that's brought here by the Shita Mekubetzet as to why it is that by shchitat chutz they are pturim. Although there are other rishonim as well as the Midrash Halacha that speak to either the fact that in Parshat Achrimot where we have the parshia of shchut echutz, it says there bnei Yisrael. Or in Devarim, when it speaks about shchut echutz, it says, Ola techa, olo shecha, olo shel goyim. So there are different limudim or nimukim that are brought by the Rishonim here as to why this is, because the Gemara never really addresses the issue. And we'll see an interesting breita in the Gemara also that might be indication as to why the Gemara never dealt with it. So that's the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi mechayev. In all these instances, Rabbi Yossi says it's chayav. What it seems is that Rabbi Yossi treats the korban of the Ovdei Kochavim much more similar to that of a Jew. Now, Tarabanan, we have a braita. Kodshei Ovdei Kochavim. It comes to the Kodashim of Ovdei Kochavim, any non-Jewish korban that is brought. Lo nehenin velo moalim, which the Gemara will tell us explicitly, but this is a terminology that will appear many times over Kodashim, which is lo nehenin means it's an iser derabanan to get hana from it. Lo moalim means there's no mi'ilah midoraita, which means that if you misappropriate it, there's no dindoraita of mi'ilah. Ve'ein chayevin aleihem mishum pigul notar v'tamei. Similar to our Mishnah, there is no din of pigul notar and tameh over here. Ve'enu sim tmura, they're unable to create tmura. If you try to exchange it onto another animal, it'll have no impact. Ve'em mevi'in nisachim, and they do not bring nisachim. Aval korbanan ta'un nisachim. But their korban itself does require nisachim. So here, the way Rashi reads this is, they do not bring nisachim below zevach. They're not allowed to contribute voluntarily a nesach independent of a korban. A Jew can be mitnadev a nesach independent of a korban. So he can bring a korban nisachim, including the wine libations and the minchat nisachim that is associated with it. He can bring it disassociated from a korban or together with a korban where they're obligated to bring it. But a non-Jew is not permitted to bring it as an independent item. Despite that fact, your korbanot, the korban of a goy, does require a nesach. So therefore, if he brings a korban, a voluntary offering, he should bring a nesach along with it. If he doesn't bring a nesach, then based on the Mishnah and Shkalim, there is a t'nai that the Shkalim that are brought to the Mikdash, that the Chachamim instituted that any korban that needs a nesach and is not brought with a nesach, that will be paid for by the Shkalim of the Tzibur. That's the way Rashi learns. They cannot bring independent nisachim. They do have to bring a nesach with their korban. There's no issue of yain nesach stam yenom because technically if they touched it, then we can't bring it. But they could also bring it without ever having to touch it. If they don't do it, then the tzibur coughs up the money to pay for it. There is an alternate view over here versus what Rashi says over here, based on the Gemara Minachot, which has a parallel Gemara over there. And there it says, Eim Nevi'in Nisachim means period. That a Goy doesn't bring a Nesach at all. That means not together with a Korban and not independently. He can't bring it in either case. He can even bring a Nesach. And then when the Gemara says over here, about Korbanan Ta'un Nesachim, means that their Korban requires a Nesach. Even though they cannot bring a Nesach, they're not allowed to bring an independent Nesach, they're not allowed to bring a Nesach with their Korban. Despite that fact, the Korban itself requires a Nesach, and that will be paid for by the funds of the Tzibur, which is basically that Mishnah in Shkalim that tells us that when the Nesach is not brought, that the Tzibur fills in the hole there and pays for the Nesach associated with that Korban. So that's the alternative way to read what this line means, and we'll see later on in the Gemara, in the Limud of the Gemara, that you could learn either way as to what is meant by this statement over here. Divri Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, as we saw in the Mishnah. And then we have Rabbi Yossi's opinion from the Mishnah as well, who says, Mechayev, and Rabbi Yossi, Rani B'kulan HaChmir. In all these cases, I want to go to Chumrash, and then Rabbi Lashem. Because there it says Lashem. So what he's referencing to is the source Pasuk for the fact that a non-Jew can bring a Korban, and that's found in Parshat Emor, Perchapet Pasuk Yudchet, Dabrel Aron Velbanav El Kol B'nei Yisrael, Amarta Lehem Ish Ish. What is the duplication of the word Ish? That comes to the Rabot of the Kochavim. To say, each ish mi beit Yisrael min ager b'Yisrael she yakriv korbano l'chol nidrehem l'chol nidbotam she yakriv l'Hashem le'ola. So that ish is the source for the fact that a goy can bring a korban. That pasuk speaking about neder and nidava, and it ends off with the word le'ola. So that's why there's an opinion that only le'ola can be brought by goyim. The other one says neder nidava. Anything brought as a neder nidava, which includes both olot and shlamim, that's the source for the machloket as to what the goy can bring. But here in that pasuk it says ish ish, which includes the goy, and then the pasuk ends as shekrivu lahashem ola. So that lahashem seems to indicate that the shem hashem is associated with this korban, or in essence, this is a full-fledged korban like that of a korban Yisrael. And if you're going to treat it like a korban Yisrael, it's going to have all these items, or you're going to be chayav for me. There will be pigul notar tameh. All the other aspects or character traits of a korban will be applicable over here. So when Rabbi Yossi says the chumrah, he doesn't literally mean the chumrah in this case. What he means is that it should be treated with the same severity as that of a korban Yisrael, whatever that means. So Lashem should give you that association. Now we have a statement in the Braita, b'med dvarim omrim b'kodshei mizbeach, avo b'kodshei berek abayit molin b'hen. So here Rashi claims that this is modifying the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and not Rabbi Yossi. It's going back to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who says that there is no din of mi'ilah by the Kodshei Ovdei Kochavim, that's true by Kodshei Mizbeach. But by Kodshei Berek Abayit, then he agrees, Malin Ben. So if they donate money to the Mikdash, that money has a din of Hekdesh of Kodshei Berek Abayit. If you're Mo'el in it, then you'll be Chayab Midoraita, because their donation is no different than anybody else's donation. When it comes to a Korban, they can't imbue it with the level of Kedusha of a Korban Yisrael. So over there, there's no din of Mi'ilah. But with regards to Mi'ilat Berek Abayit, it does apply. That's the way Rashi reads it. The Balei Tosafot on the Amud Bet. It's actually the last Tosafot on the Amud here. That continues with the Amud Bet, based on the Gemara at the end of this Amud, suggests that the Bamed Dvarim Amurim seems to be modifying Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Shimon. And therefore it's saying here, Bamed Dvarim Amurim Bikoche Mitzbeach. Bamed Dvarim Amurim, do I think you, Rabbi Shimon, are right with regards to Mi'ilah? That's by Koche Mitzbeach. But because Berek Abayit, I think you are chayav for Mi'ilah. And based on that, that means that Rabbi Shimon believes that there's no Mi'ilah, not in Kodshei Mizbeach, nor in Kodshei Berek Abayit. So according to the reading of the Balei Tosafot, Rabbi Shimon thinks Mi'ilah doesn't apply across the board, whereas Rabbi Yossi believes that it applies by Berek Abayit, but not by Kodshei Mizbeach. And you can see in the Shita Mekubetz, in the Od Dalet, he says, Mode Rabbi Shimon, Shmoalim Behen. Rabbi Shimon agrees, or is modeh to the fact that there is Mi'ilah with regards to Berek Abayit. And that would gear some support what Rashi says, because then it'd be obvious that the B'mei Adivarim Amurim is a reference to Rabbi Shimon, and not to Rabbi Yossi. Balei Tosafot note over here, what's very interesting, which is not typical in the Gemara, is that you have a Mishnah that includes certain items that the Braita does not cover, and you have certain items mentioned in the Braita that are not mentioned in the Mishnah. Putei Chutz, which appears in the Mishnah, does not appear in the Braita. The Braita speaks about Nisachim, and it speaks about Mi'ilah, which are not mentioned in the Mishnah. They are spoken about in the Braita. Usually, if the Braita is more extensive or explicates on a Mishnah, it includes what the Mishnah says, and then additional items beyond that. Over here, what you have is a strange phenomenon, which is that the Mishnah has an item in it that is not found in the Braita. And the Braita has additional items that are not found in the Mishnah. So that makes sense that the Braita has things that are not found in the Mishnah. But why should the Mishnah have something that's not found in the Braita? So the Baal Tosafot just leaves it as a interesting note here that the Braita and the Mishnah don't have overlap. That goes back to the idea here that nobody seems to address Shkutei Chutz, neither does the Gemara. So actually, if you took Shkutei Chutz out of the Mishnah, then actually then the Braita would have everything in the Mishnah plus. But Shkutei Chutz seems to be the oddball. But the fact that it's not mentioned in the Gemara at all, this Shkutei Chutz, makes it even more interesting because it seems as if the Gemara doesn't even address it, or as if it didn't exist for the Gemara in the Mishnah. So just something to take note of here, of what's contained in the Mishnah, which is what's contained in the Braita. So, lo ne'anim v'lo mo'alim. Lo ne'anim mid'rabanan, as we noted before, lo ne'anim means that there is a gzera chachamim, not to get hana'ah from these objects. V'lo mo'alim means mid'oraita, there's no din of mi'ilah. Why is there no din mi'ilah d'oraita? The gamar mi'ilah, chet chet mi'chuma. We have gzera shava of chet chet from chuma. De'bitchumakti b'nei Yisrael v'lo avdei kochavim. Because by chuma it says b'nei Yisrael, it's uniquely associated with b'nei Yisrael. And given that, Gzeir Shabu will say the same thing applies by Mi'ilah. So if you remember, the Parshia of Mi'ilah is found in Vayikra Hey, and over there when it speaks about the Asham Mi'ilot, it says, Nefesh kitim omal v'chata'a bishkaga mikudshe Hashem, ve'vi'et Hashemol Hashem ayu tamim minatzon ve'erkecha kesef shkalim. So there you have the word v'chata'a bishkaga. That's the word chet that appears there. In Parshat Emor, when it's speaking about the Truma, it says, v'shameru et mishmarti, v'lo yisa alav chet, so you see the word chet appears by truma in Parshat Emor. Chet appears by the Hashem Mi'ilot. That's Gzer Shava of chet, chet. And then we said that by truma, it only applies to Bnei Yisrael. And that is because later on, a number of psukim later, it says, V'yolo yichalulu et kodshei Bnei Yisrael, et asher yarimu l'Hashem. Yarimu l'Hashem is the truma that they're taking off. V'lo yichalulu kodshei Bnei Yisrael. That only has application to the Kodoshim, or the Truma of Bnei Yisrael. It's not true of the Truma of Ovei Kochavim. So again here, you could read that Trumat Ovei Kochavim is either nothing at all. That might be what the meaning of the pasuk is here. If a Goy goes in, it's Mafrish Truma. It has no dinim of Truma. It's Chulin the Gamre. That's one possibility of reading it. Or you could read it that when you say here that the Goy doesn't have a din in Truma, means that if he separates out Truma, it will have a din of Truma. But even though it has a din of Truma, it will not have all the trappings of Trumat Yisrael, similar to what we have by the Korban for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says by a Korban, it is a Korban. The Ovdei Kochavim's Korban that he's bringing is a Korban, but nevertheless, it doesn't have all the other character traits or aspects of a Korban Yisrael. It's not subject to Pigol, Notar, Tameh, and all the other items that we mentioned. Similarly by Truma, even though the Goy can create Truma, his Truma will not have all the trappings of a Trumat Yisrael. So you can read it either way here, and that's the source for the fact that there is no mi'ilah by the korban of an oved kochavim. Bein chavin aleim mishum pigul notar v'tamei. My taima. What's the reason it's not subject to pigul notar v'tamei? Da'ati pigul avon avon mitotar v'anidotar chilul chilul mituma. So this is the double gzeirah shava that we had in yesterday's daf that has you learning pigul avon avon mi notar. Again, yesterday we quoted the psukim, but the psukim that are found in Vayikra Zayin, tavimachol yachel mi b'sar zerach shlama b'yom hashilishi lo yiratze hamakriv oto lo yecheshev lo pigul yem v'nefesh ha'ochelet mimenu avona tisa. So there's the word avon that appears by pigul or machshevet pigul. So that's the first thing. By notar in Parshat Kiddushim, it says, Va'uchlav avono isa. So that's the avon avon. Ki et kodesh Hashem chilel. There's the chilel that's found by notar. And then if you move to Parshat Emor, you have the term chilul that is used by tuma. Pasuk that we brought yesterday. Darber alarom velbanabin azrumi kodshe b'nei Yisrael. Velo yichalulu et shem kodshi Hashem makdishim li ani Hashem. So there you have chilul. So there you have chilul, chilul, avon, avon. That's the double gzera shava that we had before. Ati pigul, avon, avon, mitar, notar. Ati notar, chilul, chilul, mituma. Umutuma aktiv b'nei Yisrael velo avdei kuchavim. The pasuk that we just read to you, it says, Ve'yidaber Hashem Moshe l'mor. Darber alarom velbanabin azrumi kodshe b'nei Yisrael. Velo yichalulu et shem kodshi Hashem makdishim li ani Hashem. So by Tuma, there is a qualifier of Bnei Yisrael. Just like that's true by Tuma, we'll have a Gzer Sheva of Chilul, Chilul to Notar in Parshat Kedushim. That tells you that's only a din by Bnei Yisrael as well. And then you have Avon, Avon from that of Notar in Parshat Kedushim to the Avon that is found by Parshat Tzav, speaking about Pigul, that is also only limited to Bnei Yisrael. Veinosim Tmura, and you cannot create Tmura for this animal. My Taimo. What's the reasoning behind this? The itkish tmura lemaser behema. There's a hekesh between tmura and maser behema. Umaser behema itkish lemaser dagan. When it comes to maser behema, that is correlated with maser dagan. Maser gadan k'tiv b'nei Yisrael v'lo avdei kochavim. And there's a qualifier there by maser dagan of b'nei Yisrael. So the reference here is to what we know as the last two psukim that are found in Sefer Vayikra. There at the end of Sefer Vayikra, the psukim say, V'chol masar bakar vatzon, kol asher yabor tachar ha-shavet, asiri yeh kodesh l'ashem. That's maser be'ema. The subsequent pasuk says, V'lo yivaker ben tov l'ra, v'lo yimirenu. Kemamer yimirenu, v'yahu t'murato yeh kodesh lo yigael. So there's a correlation between t'mura and maser be'ema. So just like maser be'ema, that is only applicable to B'nai Yisrael, so too, t'mura is only going to be applicable to B'nai Yisrael or a korban of B'nai Yisrael. How do I know that Maser Be'ema is limited to Klal Yisrael? That's because there's a hekesh between Maser Be'ema and Maser Dagan. That's Aser Taser. It says Aser Taser b'shtei ma'asrot ha'kutuv midaber. Pasuk Sbim ha'tu ma'asrot. Maser Be'ema, Maser Dagan. And over there, it specifies that it's only true by B'nai Yisrael. So Maser Dagan, which is only applicable to B'nai Yisrael, so too from the hekesh of Aser Taser, teaches that Maser Be'ema is also only applicable to Israel or Behemat Israel. And then from Maser Be'ema to Mura, where we have the juxtaposition of the psukim that are found at the end of Sefer Vayikra, teaches you that Mura is the same din as Maser Be'ema, which is that an Ovid Kochavim has no rights or no ability to create Mura. At the Ovid Kochavim's Behema or Korban is not subject to Tmura, just like it's not subject to Maser Be'ema. The Bali Tosafot over here bring an alternative Hekesh, the source for the fact that this is the case. He says that, Bereish Inyana, over there it says, Debreu B'nei Yisrael, Ish Kiafli Lindor Neder. The opening aspect of what's brought there by the Parshia of Tmura opens up with Ish Kiafli Neder. And that's the source for B'nei Yisrael over there. Not from this Maser Dagan and Maser Be'ema necessarily, but even in the context there, where Tmura is written, the psukim open with a tzivui that's directed to Klal Yisrael and not directed to Ovei Kochavim. And for that reason, it only has application by B'nai Yisrael and not by an Ovei Kochavim. The big problem with this limud is what we've been discussing in the last number of dapim, which is V'chiyat Davar L'meid V'Hekesh, Chozer M'Lameid V'Hekesh. By Kodashim, we have a rule that you're not allowed to have a double Hekesh. Anywhere else in the Torah, it's fine to have Hekesh L'Hekesh. By Kodashim, we have a principle that there's no Hekesh L'Hekesh. And that's exactly what you just did. You said that we're going to take something from Maser Dagan, apply it to Maser Be'ema because of a Hekesh, and then from Maser Be'ema to Tmura through a Hekesh. That's a double Hekesh. So how is it that you're going ahead and making a double Hekesh? It says Maser Dagan Chulinu. That's not a problem, because when it comes to Maser, Maser is totally Chulin, as opposed to Truma and Kodashim, which have inherent Kedushah to them, and if one consumes Truma inappropriately, if they're a zar, or they're a kohen who's tamei, then they're chayav mita bidei shamayim. One consumes kodoshim, either that is tamei, or betumat aguf, and it involves either a lav, or chiyuv karet, or if it's a zar, possibly a chiyuv mita bidei shamayim, because they have inherent kedusha to them. Anybody who eats maser, that maser, they're subject to a din of theft, which is that they're stealing something that is chulin, so therefore they have to compensate for it. But there's no inherent kedusha to it that will result in a chiyuv mita b'shemayim, or a chiyuv karet. There could be a lav for taking it if it doesn't belong to you, or eating it, but there is no chiyuv mita or karet, because there's no inherent kedusha. So what they're saying over here is, maser dagan is completely chulin. Maser be'ema already is kodeshim, because the animal itself is kodesh. There's inherent kedusha in the animal, and obviously tmura is involved with kodeshim, but maser dagan is chulin, and therefore now you started out with a hekesh in chulin. If you have a hekesh in chulin, then you can also apply it with a hekesh to kodashim, because then it's not a double hekesh within the world of kodashim. It says, anichal aman damar bater melamedas leinan. That works well according to the one where we focus on the source for the limud. When it comes to a hekesh, there's a source for the hekesh, and then there's the object of the hekesh. So there's a machloget, which we'll see later on in Ezum Koman, as to when we're saying there's no such thing as a double hekesh in kodashim, is that a reference to the objects of the hekesh? Or is that a reference to the source of the Hekesh? So it says here, according to the one who says that we focus on the source, that's fine. Because the source for the first Hekesh is Maser Dagan, which is Chulin. So that means the first Hekesh is in Chulin, the second one is Kodashim, that works well. Lamandamar, Batar Lameid, Azlinan. According to the one who says that we go after the destination, after the object of the Hekesh, And over here you have Kodeshim, both as the objects. Meiser Behema is the object of the first Hekesh, which is Kodeshim. And then Tmura is the object of the second Hekesh. And therefore you have now a double Hekesh within Kodeshim. So Ayikul Meimar, so what are you going to say for that Mando Amar? Ela Meiser Behema Chuva Shein Kavula Azman Hu. It's an obligation that has no fixed time for it. When it comes to an obligatory korban that does not have a fixed time to bring it, the Ovdei Kochavim do not bring it, Israel brings it. And that what we said in the pasuk is that the only offerings that are allowed for an Ovdei Kochavim are offerings that are associated with neder and nedava, voluntary offerings. They cannot be obligatory offerings. Now, as Rashi notes over here, the Gemara says that they can't bring chovot, obligations that don't have a fixed time. Two says they can't even bring obligations that have a fixed time. They're not allowed to bring a chatat and asham, beseir behema, which are all items that are chovot, obligatory korbanot, that do not have a fixed time to them. So yes, that's correct. They don't bring those, but they also don't bring chovot, obligations that have a fixed time to them, including, as Rashi calls them over here, olot riya, bishalmei chagiga. A goy also over there does not bring those korbanot. The reason that the Gemara doesn't mention that is because those are not what's called psika milta. You can't say that all olot and shlamim are problematic for the goy. It's only certain olot that are problematic and certain shlamim that are problematic for them. Those are chovot that kavu lem zman. When it comes to ain kavu lem zman, chovot that don't have any time-bound aspect to them, those chovot are obligatory korbanot. There, they're precluded across the board when it comes to an ovi kochavim. So that's why the Gemara made the statement, or a conclusive statement, which is, when it comes to chatot, ashamot, Maser Behema, Chovot, obligatory offerings, that in Kavulem Zman, that is Psika Milta, the Goy will never bring such a Korban. But with regards to Olot Shlamim, there are some Olot Shlamim which they can bring, which are the voluntary offerings. What they can't bring are the obligatory ones, even though the fixed time aspect of it is not relevant. Even if they were fixed time, you still can't bring them. And over here we have a clear differentiation in the nature of the Korbanot of the Israel, which is brought both as obligatory offerings as well as for Kapara. And we're going to see in the Gemara Ritzuei, the Ovdei Kochavim only brings a voluntary offering of Olot and possibly Shlamim, but he doesn't have any Shechut to the world of Maaser Behema. That's the case, but he is not in the world of Maaser Behema, and there's a Hekesh between Tmura and Maaser Behema, then there's no din of Tmura with regards to the Korban of the Ovdei Kochavim. Now we say Behemi V'in Nisachim, this is what we discussed in the Baraita, Tarabanan Ezrach. The pasuk says Ezrach. Ezrach may be nesachim, but in Ovdei Kochavim may be nesachim. Ezrach does bring a nesach, but nobody else brings a nesach. A citizen of Israel brings a korban, and that's based on the psukim that are found in Parshat Shlach. After the incident of Meraglim, over there there's a parshia that includes instructions about nesachim, which nesach you bring with each type of animal that's brought as a korban. And over there it says, Kol Ezrach yaseh kacha. So call Ezrach. Someone who's an Ezrach has an obligation over here with regards to the Nisachim. You would think that his Olah does not require Nisachim. Tamalomar kacha. So two psukim before, in a summary as to what is brought as Nisachim for the animals, it says, kacha yaseh lashor, ha'echad, ola ha'elechad, ola sebek svim vo'izim. This is the Nisach that comes with each of these particular animals. So the way Rashi reads this, based on his interpretation before, he says that the only person who can bring a voluntary nesach, can bring an independent nesach, is Kol Ezrach Yaseh Kacha. Any Ezrach who wants to bring such a nesachim, he can do so. That's a voluntary offering. That, the Ovdei Kochavim, is precluded from. What about when he brings a korban olah, when he brings a voluntary offering? There it says, Kacha Yaseh Lashor Echad. There, it's associated with the animal and not the individual. Any animal that's brought that has this status to it will require a nesach. So the shor will require, the ayol, the keves, each one of them will require a nesach, independent of who's bringing the korban, they require a nesach. So that's how Rashi will read it. The other opinions, like the Rambam and others who read this, that the Ovdei Kochavim is precluded from being a nesach no matter what, whether it's independent or whether it is part of a korban. So he's going to read the pasuk called Ezrach Yaseh Kacha. Nesachim only have application for Bnei Yisrael, not for a goy at all. On the other hand, kacha yaseh, even when they bring a korban, even though they don't bring the nesach with it, any behima that ends up on the mizbeach, kacha, for sure, kacha for an ayo, kacha for a keves, there is a requirement on the animal to have the nesach placed on the mizbeach. So if there's an olah that's brought, or a shlamim that's brought, a nesach must come along with them, and that is that it has to be funded by the tzibur to pay for the nesach, because the goy himself cannot bring the Nesach, or is not even commanded to bring the Nesach in these situations. So that's how to read it, based on those that disagree with Rashi's interpretation over here. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Re'ani b'kulan lahachmir, v'med v'arim amurim b'kodshei mizbeach. So here you have a quote from Rabbi Yossi, v'med v'arim amurim, which is supportive of the Bali Atosafot's view that the v'med v'arim amurim is modifying Rabbi Yossi rather than Rabbi Shimon. The fact that the Gemara quoted Rabbi Yossi before dealing with the Bamed Vamorumim seems to indicate that they think it's a qualifier to Rabbi Yossi, and that's what the Bali Tosavot say on the next Talmud. And the whole explanation is brought after they quote Rabbi Yossi, rather than just quoting the Bamed Vamorim Amurim. My time out, what's the reason here? When it has the gzer shav of chet chet from truma, it's similar to truma. The kedusha kedushat aguf that has inherent kedusha to it. Aval kedushat bet habayit, the kedushat tamim, lo. When it comes to kedushat bet habayit, it does not have inherent kedusha with it. That would not be true. According to Rashi, this is a modification of Rabbi Shimon's position, which means Rabbi Shimon believes, when is there no din of mi'ilah? That's by kodshei mizbeach. By kodshei berek habayit, there is a din of mi'ilah. The reason for that is that the gzera shav of chet chet says that mi'ilah is treated like truma. Well, what type of mi'ilah is treated like truma? Mi'ilah that looks like truma. Truma has kedushat aguf, or inherent kedushat to it, which is that an object that is truma, unlike maser, it's not chulin, it has kedushah of truma. Violations of that kedusha, the sanctity of that truma, will result in punishments that are apropos for doing such a thing. But that is reference to truma, which is kedushat aguf. If I take that now and apply it to me'ilah, it says that the exemption that is wrought by truma, where it says b'nei Yisrael, that exemption only applies by me'ilah, that is similar to truma, and that means it has kedushat aguf. So if you have kedushat aguf, then you're patur from me'ilah. If you have kedushat perek abayit, that doesn't look like truma. So therefore, the Gzeres Shava doesn't apply to it. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you would be chayav in Mi'ilah for Berek Abayit. That's the way Rashi reads it. Rabbi Bali Tosafot, who say that the Bamed Dvarim Amurim is modifying Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Shimon. What we're saying over here is that the Chet Chet comes to teach you only like Truma that has Kedushat Aguf. Is there an exemption for Mi'ilah? But when it comes to Berek Abayit, there is no such exemption. And so that's how Rabbi Yossi is learning. Rabbi Yossi says that your exemption or the pasuk or the gzera shav you bring is correct, but as a limitation, it's correct that it wipes out me'ilah with regards to kodshei mizbeach, but it doesn't wipe out me'ilah with regards to kodshei berek habayit. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi believes there is a din of me'ilah by kodshei berek habayit of a non-Jew, whereas by kodshei mizbeach there's not. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says there's no me'ilah, period. Doesn't matter. Truma is different than kodoshim. Truma has some aspects of kedusha aguf, but it's not kedusha aguf like that of kodoshim. So therefore, you can't compare the two and say that it's a limiting factor. And so for Rabbi Shimon, according to this daya, there's no din of milah, not by kodshei mizbeach, nor by kodshei berek habayit. And now the Gemara continues. Tarabanan, dam shenitma mizarako. If dam becomes tamei, and then you do zrikan mizbeach, despite the fact that the dam is tamei, bishogeg, it was unintentional. He didn't know. He wasn't careful. He didn't realize the dam was tamei. And he puts it on the mizbeach, then hurtza. The Qurban is accepted fully. That's based on the tzitz being miratzeh. Tzitz is miratzeh on tuma. So you have tumat adam over here. The tzitz can help out to override that tuma and allow the Qurban to be accepted. But that's only if done bishogeg. Bimezid, if it's done intentionally, meaning that knowingly he puts the dama tamei on the mizbeach, then lo hurtza. You're not successful at attaining mitzvah. The way the Rashi phrases it over here is, knasa derabbonanu. This is a knas midrabanan. Rabbanan penalized the individual who intentionally put something on the mizbeach when they shouldn't, that the tzitz will not take care of it and not be miratzeh. So Rashi notes over here, but that's only true at a rabbinic level. The oraita, the tzitz is successful at removing that tumah, even if it's done by mezid, the korban is accepted. So what Rashi points out now, even if the chachamim want to put a knas and fine you when you do such a thing, what they can't do is force you to bring chulin, the azara, to bring something that doesn't belong in the azara. If the tzitz, midoraita, takes care of this korban, that means that the korban will you discharge your obligation for it. They can't say to you now, oh, bring another korban afterwards, because then you bring chulin, the azara. There's no necessity for that korban. That korban is no longer your obligation. And so therefore, Rashi says, is what they say here is it's a knas. That's number one. Number two, the knas is that you can't eat such a korban. the tzitz will not be meratzeh to the point where the kohenim can eat the basar or the balim can eat the basar from the korban. But you will attain kapara and you will discharge your obligation. That's the way Rashi reads that. That the law itself here is midrabanan, but midoraita, the korban is accepted. You do attain kapara and you do discharge your obligation. The only thing is that the kohenim cannot eat from such a korban. That's only true when you're dealing with an individual. Because over there you need the tzitz to be meratzeh. When it's whether it's done intentionally or unintentionally, the tzitz saves the korban. In that case, the korban is accepted. And that could be for one of two reasons. Either you believe tuma hotra b'tzibor. If you believe tuma hotra b'tzibor, you don't even need the tzitz. And that's why it doesn't have any limitation over here. Because tuma hotra b'tzibor means that whatever happens that's tamei b'tzibor is accepted. If you believe tuma dechuya b'tzibor, then you still need a tzitz to be meratzeh. What you have to say over here is the chamim only penalized when it dealt with the yachid that was done intentionally. But it's done to the whole tzibor, and intentionally somebody puts the dam tamei on the mizbeach. Over there, they didn't want to penalize all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore they did not institute a penalty in this instance. Now, well, this is what we're after from this braita, which is Ovdei Kochavim, Ben Bishogeg, Ben Mizid, Lo Urtza. If it was a korban of an Ovdei Kochavim where the dam became tamei, the tzitz is not meratzeh, not Bishogeg, nor Ben Mizid. It doesn't help at all the tzitz over here. So Amrua Rabbanan Kameh the Rapapa. The Rabbanan noted for Rapapa, Kiman. This Braita is like whom? What is the attribution of this Braita? The Log Rabbi Yossi. It can't be Rabbi Yossi who's the author over here. Ti Rabbi Yossi, because if it was Rabbi Yossi, I'm Rabbi Kulana and Yuei Lachmir. In all the cases, I want to be Machmir. Now, Machmir doesn't mean, again, Lachumra. It just means that I want to treat it like a Korban Yisrael, which is La Hashem, is associated with the Korban. Therefore, it has all the trappings of a Korban Yisrael. Just like by a Korban Yisrael, the tzitz is meratzeh, so too by a Korban of an Ovid Kochavim, Rabbi Yossi would similarly say that it should also be accepted and the tzitz should be meratzeh. Because Rabbi Yossi says we treat the Korban of an Ovid Kochavim completely like a Korban Yisrael. That's the case, then there should be ritzoy, the tzitz should be meratzeh on the Korban Ovid Kochavim. So therefore, he can't reconcile with the Braita that says that there is no ritzoy at tzitz, for Ovdei Kochavim. Amar lehu Rapapa afilu tema Rabbi Yossi. Even Rabbi Yossi can be the author of this braita, because shani otam damakra lahem, the pasuk says lahem, lahem below Ovdei Kochavim. And we're going to darshan that to be for you and not for Ovdei Kochavim. What he's referencing to is the pasuk by the tzitz that's miratzeh. It says, v'yam metzach harom nasaron et avon ha-kodashim, asher yekdishu b'nei Yisrael l'chol matnot kodshehem, v'yam mitzchot tamid l'ratzon lahem. Hem lifnei Hashem. So that'll be a ratzon lahem for Bnei Israel, not for the Oved Kochavim. So that's the source for the fact that there's a limitation, even according to Rabbi Yossi, as to the efficaciousness of the tzitz with regards to the ritzoy. It only says application lahem for Bnei Israel, not for an Oved Kochavim. Amarle Ravuna, Breder of Natan, Rapapa. So Ravuna, Breder of Natan, says Rapapa, Elamiato. If you think that lahem is a miut that says only them and not Bnei Israel, so Hachinami Haim below of Ovdei Kochavim, here you're going to say also Haim and not a non-Jew. What are you going to do with the Parshia of Tum'ah, where we said in Parshat Emor, it says, Daber el Aron ve'el banav, v'inazru mikodshei Bnei Israel, v'lo yechalulu et shem kodshi, asher Haim maktishim li ani Hashem. So you're going to say asher Haim. Haim maktishim li means that only by a Korban Yisrael is there a din of Tum'ah. There's no din of Tum'ah with regards to a korban oved kochavim. We know that Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah as well as in the Braita that you are chayav for tuma associated with a korban oved kochavim. So how can you claim over here that Rabbi Yossi has this limud of lahem, it's only for Bnei Israel and not for a goy, and then you have the word heim by tuma, you'd have to make the same miut. The fact that he doesn't say that shows you that your limud or your assumption that by tzitz you would have a different din than by pigol notar and tamei is incorrect. Amar v'ashi, Amar Kral, the pasuk says, le'ratzon lahem, that it only be a ritzu for you, ovei kochavim lav bnei hartza'an yinhu. Ovei kochavim, it doesn't have a din of ritzui, or it's not called bnei hartza'an. So they're referencing in the pasuk, which is, v'yam metzach arom nasa aron et avon ha-kodashim ashi yakdishu bnei Yisrael l'chol matnot kodshehem v'yam mitzchot tamid le'ratzon lahem lifnei Hashem. Ritzui is either kapara, or ritzui is bringing a nachat ruach to a kodesh baruch hu. Or more importantly, ritzui is about establishing a relationship between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The whole idea of a korban is likarev, to draw closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That can be done either by bringing something that's mechaper, an avon, or a chet, which separated between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so it reestablishes the relationship, restarts the relationship between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Or if it's a voluntary offering, it's something to strengthen and enhance the relationship you have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. A korban of Bnei Yisrael is brought l'ratzot. It's brought to please Hashem. It's brought to engender the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's all the idea of a korban, which is l'karev, to get closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is not true by the korban of Ovei Kochavim. First of all, they don't bring any korbanot that involve kapara, so they're for sure they don't have that aspect of kapara. Number two is they have no command to bring a korban, so there's no din of nachat ruach or ritzui before a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And number three is, and this is the important factor, it seems that the korban of Ovei Kochavim has nothing to do with the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but rather has to do with what's called a nidiv lev. This is someone who is generous, wants to give a donation, wants to give a gift. So his korban is accepted as a gift, but it's not accepted as a gift because there's mitzvah or any association with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's accepted as a gift because the goy decided he wanted to give something. So as a generous person or a generous individual, the korban is accepted. And that's a key difference or differentiation between the korban Yisrael and a korban of Kochavim. The korban Yisrael has mitzvah associated with it. The tzitz will cover it because the purpose of the korban is the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, for the goy, the purpose of the korban is not to engender a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but rather for the goy to feel good and to be generous and donate something to the Mikdash. It's an expression of his generosity. Therefore, his beima is not subject to ritzui. It's a beima. That's a korban, according to Rabbi Yossi. It's a beima. It has the status of lehashem, that it has all the character traits of a korban, but it's a korban from the perspective of the bringer, but not a korban in terms of Hashem's receiving of the korban, in the sense of establishing, re-establishing, strengthening the ties between a person and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. For that reason, the ritzui is not applicable to his korban. And the din will be that if the goy brings the korban, and there's dam that's tamei, that sits is not ratzeh, that means that the goy did not discharge his obligation. If he took a nether to bring a korban, that korban was not brought, and he'll have to now bring a new behemah to do it. If you made a nether to do something, then you have to stand by your word. You have to keep your word and bring what you said. And over here it failed, and so now you have to bring a replacement korban. So the ritzui has two aspects to it, both the engendering of the relationship, which is from Bnei Yisrael, but also allows for the tzitz to override certain disqualifying events to make that it is the ratzon lefnei Hashem. That's not true by the Ovei Kochavim, who's only bringing it as a voluntary offering, as some generous contribution to the Mikdash or to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In that instance, there's no ritzui associated with it. So therefore, it never opens up the possibility of the tzitz being miratzeh on a korban, because there is no ritzui associated with it. And then it has the result and problem, which is that, and if there's a problem, the problem will cause that the korban is not accepted. And if you had an obligation to bring that korban, you'd have to bring it again. The only obligation for a goy is if he took a net there, because he's not otherwise obligated in bringing korbanot. Alright, next Mishnah. Dvarim she'in chayvin aleihem mishum pigul, chayvin aleihem mishum notar, u'mishum tamei, chutz min adam, with the exception of dam. So now, here the Mishnah addresses something that comes up in Mishnayot, especially in Mi'ilah, which is that pigul, notar, and tamei are a threesome. Most korbanot, or most issues, when there is a trigger that allows pigul, notar, and tamei to happen, it's a simultaneous trigger, or they are bunched together in a number of Mishnayot. So what this Mishnah points out is that we just had a Mishnah before that said that there are items that are not subject to Pigul, including the Kometz, the Ketoret, Minchat Kohanim, all the other things that we listed over there in the Mishnah. So those items are not subject to Pigul. What this Mishnah says is, despite the fact that they're not subject to Pigul, they are subject to a din of Tumah, and they are subject to a din of Notar. So their differentiation between Pigul, which doesn't apply over here, to Notar and Tamei, I'll have to explain why that is, that Notar and Tamei have a broader swath of what they cover rather than Pigul. That's the first thing. The exception is Dam, which we'll have to get to in the Gemara. Shimon Mechayev B'davar Shudarkan Lechol V'Leitzim V'Levona V'Ketoret Eina Chayvin Aleim Mishum Tuma. Rabbi Shimon says, yes, Tuma does apply to these items, even though there's no din of Pigul. That's only true if the items are edible. So even though the items are destined to go on to the Mizbeach, or to have a din of haktarah, nevertheless, if they are edible, then you can be chayav for consuming them bitumat aguf. On the other hand, if they are inedible items, then you cannot be chayav for consuming them bitumat aguf, because that's not nikra achila. On the other hand, the chachamim, as we already learned earlier, have a riboy from the pasuk v'habasar asher yigah b'chol tamei, and they have the riboy of habasar to include even etzim lebona and ketoret, then if you consume them bitumat aguf, that you also be chayav karet in that instance. Rabbi Shimon says, since they're not things that are eaten, the etzim, levona, and ketoret, they should not be subject to Tuma. The Baal HaTosafot do discuss over here the fact that why does Rabbi Shimon need this issue of Achila in order to say, well, these items are not subject to Tuma. Rabbi Shimon is the one who has the opinion that we see in many places in Chas, which is Ein Hisur Chalal Isur. That you can't have two Isurim applied to the same object. And so here you already have an Isur, or a restriction that's associated with these objects, to then place an additional Isur on top of them, would be problematic. And so any Isur HaChisur would prevent this issue of Tuma happening. Forget about the fact whether it's Darko Lechol or Ein Darko Lechol. So Baal HaTosafot might actually give a very interesting answer, which is normally an answer that the Gemara gives, but not Rishonim. He says, Trei Tanai Alibi Rabbi Shimon, that there are two different views within the world of the Tanaim as to what Rabbi Shimon's opinion is. Tuma is precluded from these items is because of the fact that they are Ein Darkam Lechol, not because of Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur, and that's the view of Rabbi Shimon, or the Tana in Rabbi Shimon in this Mishnah over here. Right, Tana Banan, right, the breakdown. Yochol lo yei chayevim mishum Tuma, you would think that you would only be chayev for Tuma, el davar sheyesh lo matirim ben adam lemin nizbech, only for items that have a matir that allows them to go on the mizbech, or a matir that allows them to be eaten by Adam. So alchol yei achel, b'shtei achilot ha-katub midaber, there are two achilot that are relevant by the world of Pigul, that is Achilat Mizbeach and Achilat Adam. And we already established in the last two daf that you need a matir to bring them to that point. That's where we learn from Shlamim. Just like Shlamim has a matir, the Zrikat Adam, that now makes it mutar to put the emurim on the Mizbeach. And also makes it mutar for the Kohanim or the Balim to eat the Basar. So that's how we learn by Pigul that you need a matir. That same concept that is brought over there should have application over here by Tum'ah. You should have to have a matir ben adam le mizbeach in order for it to be chayav. Umat pigol shehu bekevi'ah. Pigol, if you have to bring a korban chatat, you bring a chatat kebu'ah if you unintentionally violated pigol. Ube yediyah achat. And all you need is knowledge of the fact that you violated the isura pigol in order to bring such a chatat. Below hutar michlalo. Pigol is never mutar. There's never a case where we say pigol hutar besibur that tzitz is overriding it. Ein chayvin elav. And yet, despite all these chumrot that are associated with pigol, you only chayav el adavar sheish lo matirin ben ladam ben amizbeach. Only if it's something that has an action, that is matir, that allows the emurim to go on the mizbeach and the basar or the remainder of the korban to be taken by the kohanim or the balim, like a shlamim. That's the din of pigol. So if that is true by pigol, then it should also be true by the case of tuma. And that is because tuma, sheid ba'olev yoreid, an unintentional violation of Tuma, which is Tumat Mikdash B'Kodeshav. B'Tumat HaGuf, you eat Kodeshim, or B'Tumat HaGuf, you enter into the Mikdash. There you are, Chayav, a Korban, Olev Yoreid. That's what we spent a lot of time on in the Gemara and Shavuot, and that is what's found in Vayikra Dalet. There's a Korban Olev Yoreid associated with an unintentional violation, as opposed to a Chatat Kavua that's associated with Pigol. U'B'Shtei Yediot. You need two Yediot. You remember in the Parshia that we discussed, the Korban Olev Yoreid, it says, Hu Yada, that he knew about it. Means that you needed to know that you were Tamei, forgotten that you were Tamei, and then entered into the Mikdash, or Eid Kodeshim, in that state of Tuma, and then remembered afterwards. So that's what it means there's two Yediot. There's a Yediah that you must know you're Tamei before the violation takes place, and you also need a Yediah that you did this violation. So you need Shtei Yediot with regards to Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav, and V'Hutra Michlala. And there is, by Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, you have that Tzitz Meratzeh. So you have these aspects of Tuma, which is Hutar Michlala. So it's clearly more Lekula. Einu Din, Sheinu Chayav Ela Al, Davar Sheish Lematirim, Ben Ladam Lemem Mizbeach. Certainly, in that case, you should also be only subject to Tuma, when it's something that has a matir to the Mizbeach, something that has a matir to the Adam, similar to what is true by the case of Pigul. The Gemara says, you would have said that, but Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Asherheim Maktishim Li. It's anything that is brought to me. So that's the Pasuk actually for the source by Pigul as well. That's the Pasuk in Parshat Mor that deals with Tuma. Taber al Aron Vel Banav, Vinazrumi Kodshe Bnei Yisrael, Velo Yechalulu Et Shem Kodshi. Asherheim Maktishim Li, Ani Hashem. Asherheim Maktishim Li means any Kodesh will be subject to this. The truth is that we learned in yesterday, the Brayta, that Asherheim Maktishim Li is applicable to Pigul as well. We had the Gzeirah Shavah that teaches you that din that is true by Tuma is true by Notar. It's true by Notar to Makshavit, Notar, or Pigul. That was the Gzer Shava of Chilul, Avon. That taught us that what was true by Tum'ah of Kola Kodashim are subsumed in there, so too that's true by Pigul. But Pigul has an offsetting force there. And that is by Pigul, you also have the din that it's mentioned by Shlamim. The Klal u'Prat u'Klal, that usually has to be Ke'ein, the Prat or Ke'ein is Shlamim. So that is the qualification by Pigul. Pigul applies to all Kodeshim, but then there's the qualification because it has to be subject to the Klal u'Prat u'Klal of Shlamim. By Tuma, you don't have that Klal u'Prat u'Klal. That means that when it says Asher Hei Maktishim Li, means any Kodesh will have this din of Tuma. You would have thought that Tuma should be narrower than Pigul. Pigul, which is more chamor, has this limited scope. So certainly Tuma, that is the Kula, should also have a limited scope. The answer is, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk tells you otherwise. The Pasuk tells you that the scope of Tuma is much greater. The truth is that Pigul also had that same scope, because it's learned from Tuma. But then it has a qualifier, which is the Klal u'Prat u'Klal Shlamim, that narrows the scope down. But that means that Tuma is left with that original scope, which means all Kodeshim. And the Gemara says, Yochol Miyad, you would think that Tuma has application not at the time or some later date, but rather Miyad. As soon as it becomes Kodesh, it's subject to Tuma. Tomalomar Ikrav, it's the subsequent Pasuk there in Emor, says, Amer Aleim Ledor Techem Ko Ish Asher Ikrav, Mikol Zarechem Ala Kodeshim Asher Yagdishim Bnei Yisrael Hashem Tumato Alav Nechata Nefeshim Melefanai Ani Hashem. There is Tumat Aguf, he's going to eat Kodoshim, which is then Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav. Over there it says, Ikrav. So now the Gemara notes about that. Amar Rav Elazar, V'chi Yesh Nogei Ashu Chayav. Since when do we ever find an instance where someone who comes into contact with the Kodoshim and makes them Tamei, that he should be Chayav, a serious punishment? Over here we're speaking about punishments of Mita Bidei Shemai, Mitot of Karet. Where do you ever see that someone who's Tamei that touches something is in such a state of violation that they'll be chayav karet mitah b'dei shemayim? So machloket, we saw this earlier in the sector of Yochanan Shlokit, as to whether there's at least a lav over there with regards to nogeya bitumah that we call the shim. But nevertheless, nobody thinks you're chayav karet. Nobody thinks you're chayav mitah b'dei shemayim. So clearly, the word ikrav that's found in the pasuk here can't be taken literally, because the ikrav is speaking about achila. Either that's because of what we just said, the logic, that it just doesn't make sense that Ikrav has such a severe punishment. It must be speaking about Achila. Or, like Rashi suggests over here, the Pasuk itself makes it clear that we're speaking about Achila. That's the context of the Psukim that we're speaking about, which is the Achilat Adam. So that Ikrav must be Achila over here. El Matam Olamar Ikrav. Well, if that's the case, why did he express it as Ikrav? V'hukshar basar likarei v'katu midaber. It's only once the basar has been primed to be placed on the Mizbeach, that it takes on a status of Tamei, HaKeitzad. So then, what is that? What's that trigger that makes it happen that way? Yesh lo matirin, if it has something that is has a matir to it, Mishi Karvu HaMatirim. Once you put the matirim on the Mizbeach, so basically, Pigol, Notar, and Tamei are triggered by the same thing. For instance, by a korban, Zrikat Adam. Zrikat Adam now opens up the korban to be subject to Tuma, as well as the Isur of someone with Tumat Aguf who consumes Basar Kodeshim is triggered at that point. That's based on this, as well as the fact that we discussed in Parshat Tzav, that it contrasts the situation in which a Tahor eats the Basar versus someone who has Tumat Aguf that eats the Basar. So something that is Mutar to the Tahor is problematic for the one who is Tameh. And therefore, someone with Tumat Aguf at this point in time would then be restricted in consuming the Kodoshim and subject to the Chiyuv Karet. Also, Notar, the clock starts at the time that you do Zrikat Adam for Notar, as well as Pigol. Now, Pigol is a slightly nuanced difference there, because Pigol, the Machshava happened earlier. The Zrikat Adam is Koveya, the Korban, to have Pigol, because then it's Karev Matirav. Then you put on the Matirav, you did the rest of the Korban properly, that's what generates the problem of Pigol. Ikrav teaches you that once it's brought into the sphere of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's when we have the trigger of the din of Tuma over here. It's modifying Mikodshei B'nei Yisrael, Asherhei Makdishim Li, to tell you that it's only true once the Matir has been placed on the Mizbeach that primed it to be ready for the Mizbeach. If it's in lo Matirim, if it doesn't have Matirim, Mishi Kadesh B'Kli. It's only once it's put into a Kli Sharet. You put it into a Kli Sharet, it takes on an added dimension of Kedusha that makes it that now it's subject to Notar and Tamei. So Mara says, Ashkechan Tuma. So now you explain to me how Tuma is differentiated from Pigol, that Tuma has a broader scope than that of Pigol. Notar Minolon. How do you know that's true also by Notar? Atio Chilul Chilul Mi Tuma. That's not a problem. We'll learn it out from Gzer Shava. We used this Gzer Shava already. In Parshat Emor it says, Yinazru Mikodshei B'nei Yisrael B'lo Yekalulu. And in Parshat Kedoshim, which is speaking about Notar, Over there, we also had Balchla Babono Yisak. He had Kodesh Hashem Chilel. Nekata Nefshei Me'amah. So we're going to use Chilel as a Gzer Shaba to teach you that what's true by Tumah, the scope of items that are affected by Tumah, also will be applicable by Notar through that Gzer Shaba. Where it says, Leilef Abon Abon Mipigol. Wait a minute. Didn't we join all three of these items before? You had a double Gzer Shaba. There's also Gzer Shaba by Notar, which says, Ochla Babono Yisak. And you have the pasuk that's found in Tzav that also has the word avon in it. So Notar really sits as the bridge between Tumah and Pigol. That's why we had a double Gzereshava. Gzereshava that goes from Tumah to Notar. Gzereshava from Notar to Makshevet Notar, which is Pigol. So now Notar, when you don't know what to do with it, do we take the Gzer Shava to Tumah and say it'll look like Tumah? Or do we take the Gzer Shava between it and Pigul and say it should look more like Pigul over here? So how do you know that the scope of Notar is as broad as the scope of Tumah, or items that can become Tameh? Or is it more narrow like the scope of Pigul? Where it says, Mistavra mitumah avalei the melef, makes more sense to learn from Tumah, because Shekein Gezel, Siman. Because there's three items that are common denominators between them. The letter Gimel represents the fact that it is Guf. These are items that have a psula Guf. Common denominator between Notar and Tum'ah is they both affect the object itself. They're a change in the status of the object. The person is Tameh. The Basar is Notar. As opposed to by Pigul. Pigul is a psula Machshava. It's all about what you're thinking. It's not about whether the object became Tameh. It's not whether the object became Notar. Simply as, do you have a thought about it? So that's a differentiation between Pigol and would draw you to say that Notar and Tameh have more in common. The second thing is, Zayin, Ein Zrikat Adam Mebiatan Lidei Psulan. That Zrikat Adam doesn't bring them into that world. That's what I noted before, that Zrikat Adam is applicable by all three of these Isurim, but by Notar and Tameh, Zrikat Adam is what enters them into the world of Tumah and the world of Notar. The clock starts, once you have Zrikat Adam, for Notar, what's your time limit for you to consume the Korban or to process this Korban? Similarly, with regards to Tum'ah, once the Zrikat Adam is done, that's what allows it to become Tameh. Or that's when the Chiyuv Karet is associated with someone who has Tumat HaGuf, when he consumes Basar Kodashim. That's what we just learned, Ikrav. Ikrav tells you that you have to bring it closer only once it's within the sphere of Kedusha, of the Mizbeach, does it have these dinim? That happens at the time of Zrikat Adam. So they have that common denominator of Zrikat Adam as the trigger. Now, Pigul also has Zrikat Adam as a trigger, but not from the sense that that is the violation, but rather that's just to get Karev Matirav, Bekashrut, the remaining Matirim after you put on properly, otherwise the Korban is never Nikba be Pigul. And so therefore, for Pigul, the Zrikat Adam is what's Koveya, the Isur, rather than priming it for the problem or possibility of the Isur afterwards. So that again is a common denominator between Notar and Tumah. And the third one is Lamed, which Rashi says is associated with Chilul. Chilul, Chilul, that Gzer Shava, that's what brings them together. The Baal Tosafot are not happy with that, because the Gemara should also have brought the other Gzer Shava of Avon Avon in comparing the Pigul to the Notar. The fact that it doesn't makes it sound like that's not what the Gemara is after over here. Therefore, the Baal Tosafot favors the Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation over here, which is that the Lamed is Kulo, as opposed to Tum'ah, which can apply to a part of the Korban. A portion of the Korban can become Tameh, or a person who's Tameh can consume a portion of the Korban and still be in violation of eating Kodoshim B'Tumah Daguf. Or Notar, where you can leave over a portion of the Korban and be subject to Notar, versus Pigul, where the entire thing becomes Pigul. If you have a Mechshev Pigul, everything becomes Pigul. The Pigul affects the entirety of the object. And that's what it means. The Lamed over here means Kulo. So Gemara suggests is that better to go with the Gzer Shava that connects between Notar and Tumah than with Gzer Shava between Pigul and Notar. It says, Adarabba, Pigul Avila the Melef, Shekein, because now you have a common denominators between Pigul and Notar. Number one is, our Gemara's read Notar, but the word should read Hutar. Notar and Pigul, Lo Hutra Michlalan. They don't have any dispensation the Mikdash to be brought, as opposed to Tumah, which does have a Hutar Mechlala. So that gives a commonality between Pigol and Notar. Tzitz. The Tzitz is Meratze on Tumah. The Tzitz is Meratze on Pigol. It's not Meratze on Notar. tahor. Both of these objects are tahorim, and nevertheless, they are problematic, as opposed to tumah, which is tamei, which is causing the problem. Bizman, they're both issues of time. Notar is an object that was left past its time. Pigo is a machshava about chutz lezmano. And the last common denominator between them is karev. Both of them are psulim in the object itself, as opposed to tumah, where the problem is in the makriv. The individual is associated with it. I mean, that's tumat aguf. The psukim that we're quoting over here, with regards to gezer shava, from Parshat Tzav, is an isur of tumat aguf, consuming kodesh betumat aguf, or entering into the mikdash betumat aguf. So there the problem or the issue is with the makriv, whereas by notar and pigol, the problem is with the object, because the object is problematic, not the person who's being makriv is the problem. Hani nefishan. You have more commonalities between notar and pigol than you have between notar and tuma. And then that would push you to say that the gzeres shava that associates it with pigol would make more sense for that, saying that notar should be associated with tuma. Element of Tani Levi. The source for this is from the Bright of Levi. The Tani Levi, Minayin Sha'af B'psul Zman HaKatuv Medaber. How do you know that the Pasuk is also speaking about a B'psul of Zman or Notar? Tamalomar, V'lo Yechalulu, Echim Kochi, Hashem Makdishim Le. Which is the Pasuk in Amor that we quoted before for Tuma, which is the Be'al Aron Be'al Benavi Nazrumi Kochi Ben Israel. V'lo Yechalulu, Echim Kochi, Hashem Makdishim Le, Ani Hashem. The Bright of Levi says that Pasuk is not only speaking about Tumah, it's also speaking about Notar. As the Gemara continues, V'shnei Chilulim HaKatuv Medaber. The Pasuk uses V'lo Yechalulu in plural, implying that there are two Chilulim over here, the two things that are profaned over here. Echad Pasul Notar, Echad Pasul Tumah. One of those things that profanes the Korban is Tumah, the other thing that profanes the Korban is Notar. So that means that subsumed in that Pasuk is both Notar and Tumah. And in that way, you can learn Notar from Tumah, rather than learning Notar from Pigol. That's because notar is subsumed within the pasuk of tuma. Now, how the limud works, Rashi seems to indicate midalok tiv ve'inazru ve'lo yichalulu. Since it doesn't juxtapose the terminology ve'inazru and ve'lo yichalulu, that seems to imply that there are actually two separate isurim over here. There's ve'inazru and there's ve'yichalulu. So that's the way that Rashi learns it. That's what precipitates this limud over here. Or if you look in otei of the shita mikubetzit, explains to you, instead of writing lo yechalulu, it should have written below yechalulu. And so it's the double lamed, or yechalulu, that makes it that there are two chilulim that are associated over here. That indicates to you that we're shnei chilulim over here. One is chilul tuma, one is chilul nutar. That brings them together so that their din should be the same. Just like the scope of tuma is broader than that of pigul, so too the scope of nutar will be broader than pigul. The problem with this limud is what the Baal Tosafot point out here at the top of the Memvav Amin Aleph, which is the tema. He says, the Gemara before was searching for how we know a din applies by tuma to notar. And we brought the Gzer Shava in order to do that. Baal Tosafot say, what do you need a Gzer Shava for? If you're claiming now that the pasuk subsumes within it tuma and notar, that means that notar has the same din as tuma because they're found in the same pasuk. What do you need a Gzer Shava for? And Tosafot goes on, why do we need all these other limudim that draw parallels or connections between notar and tuma if they're found in the same pasuk? So it's a very difficult question the Baal Tosafot are noting over here. And they're claiming that we're using the same pasuk, and there must be some itur in the pasuk that allows us to learn this, because you can't just say it as a generic connection between them, because otherwise you'd upend all these other limudim. I think that what you're going to have to read the pasuk to say is, V'lo Yechalulu says that there's something else that's subsumed here. That doesn't mean that we would treat notar exactly like tuma, but it means that there's a broader perspective that captures another chilul over here. Now, once we know that, that's going to push us in favor of saying that gzer shava should go towards tuma and not towards pigul. But that doesn't say that this is the primary limud. This is just telling you which gzer shava we should apply over here. And that's based on Mayuho Yechalulu, that there is some association between tuma and notar. And given that, you're going to learn the gzer shava of tuma to notar to tell you what the scope of notar is, and not go to pigol to narrow that scope of notar. All right, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Memvav Amud Aleph.